So, it's Wednesday. I know it's Sunday, but let's pretend for a second. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, you're the boss. And you are with four of your closest colleagues. Four guys who have given up everything to follow you and your mission. And it's Wednesday. And you know that tomorrow, Thursday, one of your closest friends is going to betray you. And because of his betrayal, you will be arrested, beaten, receive an unfair trial, and later on that day, your executive vice president, who you have chosen to carry on your great mission, your great work, will pretend like he does not even know you. And Thursday ends. And then Friday comes, and they come to get you. You're beaten again, mocked some more, placed on a cross, and you die. And Friday ends. Let's go back to Wednesday. What would you say to those four guys? What would you say to them? Now, obviously, what we're looking at here is what did Jesus say on Holy Wednesday to Peter and Andrew, James and John? And if you want to find out, do you know where you look? You look in the 13th chapter of Mark's gospel, and we just heard from it today, that the gospel we just heard is what Jesus has chosen to say to his closest apostles the day before Holy Thursday, 2 days before Good Friday. This is what he has chosen to say. And he does so in the very place, the Mount of Olives, the very place where he is about to be betrayed and arrested. And as they're sitting there, these five people, Jesus, Peter, James, Andrew, and John, he's looking out at the Kidron Valley in Jerusalem, and they see one thing. They see the Jewish temple in all its glory, in all its magnificence, the very center of Jewish worship. They see it, and Jesus says to them, "You see that temple? That temple will be destroyed." And they probably say, "You've lost your mind, because do you know how much those stones weigh? You've lost your mind." So Jesus chose on Wednesday of Holy Week to speak in this way. And if you're me, you're saying to yourself, could you be a little bit more clear about what you're talking about? Why use all this fancy imagery about this end of the world stuff? It sounds like you're trying to describe a Star Wars movie. Could you be a little bit more clear, Jesus? Because what's about to happen is big, and I don't understand what you're saying. And this is how Jesus chose to speak. This is how he chose to speak. And he speaks about the sun and moon losing its light. He talks about stars falling from the sky. He talks about the Son of Man coming in glory on clouds. And we're left to say, what? And if you don't think that's bizarre, then there's something wrong. So the question today is this: why? Why would Jesus talk like this? What is he trying to do by using all this imagery? And it seems that he's doing one thing. He's trying to do one thing with this imagery. That the purpose of it is this: to offer hope in time of trial. Let me say that again. To offer hope in time of trial. Because for the apostles, their world is about to be turned upside down. They are about to endure a trial that they did not even know was possible. They are about to be tried in ways which will eventually require them to give up their life. And he is trying to tell them, you need to have hope. I hope that can fit into your life and mine. Because we all know that trials are inevitable. Because we're human beings, because we exist, we face trials. It's part of life. But within those trials, Jesus wants us to have one thing. He wants us to have hope. But that begs the question, what is authentic Christian hope? Is it simply wishful thinking? Is it simply trying to convince ourselves that things aren't as bad as they really seem to be? So what is hope? Hope seems to be this: placing our trust in things that cannot be taken away. Placing our confidence in a reality that no matter what cannot be taken from us, that lasts forever, that endures forever, that is eternal. Placing our trust and confidence in those things which cannot be taken away, that is true Christian hope. And Jesus is using this imagery for the apostles to say, even though things are about to get real bad, have trust, have confidence in those things which are eternal. Now, where does that fit into your life and mine? I don't know about you, but I'm willing to guess it might be things like health. That we think somehow, some way, that our main goal in life is to be healthy. And when our health is lost, or our health is questioned, and it cannot be restored, if all of our hope is in that, what happens? Everything falls apart, and all seems lost. Because we have made our goal, we have made our end, we have made our objective, good health. And when all of a sudden that can't be restored, all seems lost. That's because true hope is not to be in those things which are passing. Health is passing. Maybe possibly we put all of our hope in our virtue and in our skills. And when all of a sudden our virtues and skills fail us, what happens? All seems lost. Because we have made our entire goal virtue. We have made our entire goal in life skills. And when our skills fail, what happens? All seems lost. That's because our skills are passing. They are not eternal. Maybe we put all of our hope in a friendship or in a family member, and we are convinced that the goal of that relationship is to make us completely happy. And when that friendship or family member fails us, what happens? All seems lost. Because even that friendship, as precious as it is passing. So the goal this week seems to be simple. To ask ourselves, where do we place our hope? Do we place our hope in things that are passing, as good as they may be? Do we place our hope in things that are material, that cannot love us back, as good as they may be? Or is our hope in something else? As Christians, authentic hope is in that which cannot be taken away, that endures forever, that lasts forever, that is eternal. And quite honestly, there is only one thing that lasts forever. There is only one thing that is eternal. And what is it? What is it? It's the love of God. That the love of God is the only thing that endures forever. Our love for Him and His love for us. That is the only thing that will ever satisfy our hearts. Because true hope, everyone, true hope is placing our confidence in that which cannot be taken away, and that is the love of God. And so, is that love which he offers to all of us, no matter our past, no matter what we've done. Is that love enough for you and for me? If it is, then we get hope. Then we understand what this gospel is all about. Then quite honestly, we understand what life is all about. Is his love enough, or is it not?